Hebrews 3, 1 through 6. You will understand the text as we go along. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, even Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also was Moses in all his house. For he hath been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Who's counted more glory than Moses? Jesus Christ. By so much as he hath built the house, hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he that built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken. Number two. But Christ as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm until the end. Right away, I want you to know that I am very grateful for the comments of Pastor John MacArthur of the many insights of today's Sunday's message. After having seen the exalted supremacy of Jesus, who is better than the prophets and the angels, we are now shown how he is better than Moses, the one through the first covenant came. Number three, better than Moses. Moses was esteemed by the Jews far above any other Jew who ever lived. God had miraculously protected him as a baby and personally provided for his burial. Between these two points in his life are miracle after miracle. He was the man to whom God spoke face to face. He had seen the very glory of God and, in fact, even had his glory reflected in his own face for a brief while. After he came down from Mount Sinai, the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. Exodus 34:29. He was the one who led Israel out of Egypt. As Paul stresses in Romans 2, Jews had great confidence in the law. Number four, the Old Testament commandments and rituals were their supreme priorities. And to them, Moses and the law were the same. The New Testament often refers to the commandments of God as the law of Moses. Moses not only brought the Ten Commandments, but he also wrote the Pentateuch. If you know what the Pentateuch is, it's the first five books of the Bible, which lays out the Levitical and other laws that govern everything the Jews did. Moses gave the plans, say the plans. Moses gave the plans for the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you don't have this, but this is in your notes. I have Moses gave the plan for the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. Say the plans again. I want you to know something. God not only gave Moses a plan, but God has a plan for your life. You have to ask your question to yourself. It's a personal question. What plans, God, do you have for my life? Can I get a witness? That's a personal question. And it demands a personal answer. Some Jews, I'm quoting again. Some Jews believe that Moses was greater than the angels. God spoke to the prophets in visions, but to Moses he spoke face to face. He spoke to him on Mount Sinai in a burning bush. He spoke to him out of heaven. He spoke to him and wrote the commandments with a finger of fire. He was, above all, God's man. Yet, in this message of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit calls on the Jewish readers, especially, to look at Jesus. Moses, indeed, was great, but Jesus is far greater. Jesus is shown to be superior to Moses in office, in work, and in person. In his office, Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest. In his work, he is the builder of the house. In his person, he is the Son. Now, I have something for you to turn to. My brother in Christ, Ray, asked you to have a Bible. I would like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Referring to in his work, he is the builder of the house. In his person, he is the Son. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll open it. If anyone has the page, go ahead and call it out. Hebrews 1, verse 3. 169. I'm going to start with verse 1 and go down to verse 3. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways. Let me stop right there. I know I'm getting off the point, but it's to the point. After he long ago spoke to the Father in many portions and in many ways. I want you to ask yourself this morning, how many ways has God spoken to you to get your attention? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
How many times? When are you going to say, "Here am I hear your voice"? In these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, who also he made the world. Did you get that? The worlds were made by the eternal, and I stress the word eternal, Son of God. But look how closely he comes to his Father. He is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of God's very being. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Did you get that? He's the radiance of his Father's resplendent glory. He's the exact representation of his very being or very nature. No wonder Jesus Christ could say, "I and my Father are one." What he said? Let me give you my footnote on verse 3. Who being the shining splendor of his glory and the express image of his essence, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Say upholding. Do you see that? It says the entire universe, the cosmos, the universe is upheld by the eternal Son of God. And I know I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. If God the Son wasn't holding this universe in the palm of his hand, so to speak, use this universe would split into billions and billions of pieces. Like the songwriter said, he says he's got this whole world in his hands. May I add to that? He's got the whole universe in his hands. Number 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, even Yeshua. That's what I call him. That's the Jewish name for Jesus, Yeshua. Before we go any further, this above verse has several words which I suggest need to be clearly defined. For now, let's consider more closely the meaning of the words consider and the apostle. Let's start with the word apostle. From Grace to You, number 7. According to John MacArthur's November 7th, 2018 Grace to You leaflet, an apostle is a sent one who has the rights, power, and authority of the one who sends him. Talking about Jesus. An apostle is a sent one who has the rights, power, and authority of the one who sends him. Number 8. I could only get one on. And who do you scriptures reveal sent Jesus? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Let me repeat that again. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so the world might be saved through him. I want you to answer a question. I do not want you to raise your hand. I'm not trying to insult anybody. Are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with him? You know, and you should know. Don't you let anybody tell you that you can't know that you're saved. 1 John, this is not in your notes, says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Amen. Not hope so, not till you get ready to die, but right now. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm going back. I'm going to repeat this verse again. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Here's what Jesus did. For he has made him who knew no sin. Let me go over that. That's not in there, brother. God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for you and me, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Can I get a witness? Did you get that? God the Father made his son to be sin for you and me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God poured out his wrath on his son, because his son bore your sins. His son bore my sins. Every cotton wicked thing that we ever did was laid upon the son. The wrath of God was poured out on him. And what's the exchange? That you might be made. You're not righteous in yourself. That's what's wrong with some of us. We think we're so goody two-shoes. Can I get a witness? But there is no righteousness that you can please God except the righteousness that he imputes to your account. You're not going to want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Isaiah says, all our righteousness is like filthy, disgusting rags. And until you realize you're a sinner and you're on your way to a crisis eternity in hell, you can't be saved. Or something similar to that. For by grace. That's not on there. For by grace have you been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. He gives it to you as his free gift. But what does he expect after you get his free gift? Now, I think we better turn to this because I don't want to mislead you. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to go to verse 1 and then I'm going to skip down. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Can you look that my way? I'm not trying to insult you. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're dead in trespasses and sins. That's what the Bible says. And if I may, you're a dead man walking. But here's the good part. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. I know I said it before, and I said again, you'll never be able to tell the Lord how good you are. He saved you by His grace through faith. But look what happens afterward. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So good works don't add to yourself or get you saved. They come after you're saved. Can I get a witness? Why? Because now the Holy Spirit is trying to take control over your life and lead you in the way of righteousness. John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give him the Spirit by measure. Who's he talking about? Jesus Christ. But you also have the Holy, if you've been saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And notice the word holy. Christian, I don't know who I'm talking to. If you are living a life apart from Christ, if you are living a carnal life, you're not living up to your potential. John 5:36-38. And thank you for the Kleenex. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me that I should finish them, the works which I do themselves witness of me that the Father has sent me. Well, who sent Jesus? God the Father. That's what it says. Number 9. And he sending me, the Father himself has borne witness of me. Neither have I heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. John 8:42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I went forth and came from God. For I did not come of myself, but he sent me. I'm going to repeat that again. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me. I want you to answer this question, Christian. Do you love Jesus? Only you can answer. Nobody else can answer that. Do you love Jesus? Jesus himself, number 10. Jesus himself spoke of his superiority to Moses in the same context in which he spoke of his being sent by the Father. Now, I'm going to skip over John 5:36-39 because I know I repeated that, and I don't want to repeat everything. So you're on number 11. Do not think that I come to accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Did you get that? Moses wrote about Jesus. I wonder how he did that. Let's just pick one. Let us make man in our image. Well, who was he talking to? Who was God talking to? He was talking to his son. Who wrote the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible? Moses. And he recorded these words, let us make man in our image. Well, who was God the Father talking to? He was talking to his son. But if you do not believe his writing, how should you believe my words? Luke 16:29-30. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one should go to them from the dead, they would not repent. What did you bring that up for, Brother Bruce? If you don't believe the word of God, you won't believe if God raised somebody from the dead. Can I get a witness? The word of God is superior. First Peter 1:10. Don't turn. About which the salvation of prophets sought and searched out, prophesying the grace for you. Searching for what? Of what matter time the Spirit Christ made clear to them. Let me just make this clear. This is First Peter 1:10. Even the angels said, who is this who's coming to redeem man? Number 12. And he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. Now for the word consider. The writer asked for the reader's complete attention. The writer asked for the reader's complete attention and diligent observation of the superiority of Jesus Christ. 13. The writer asked for the reader's complete attention, I know I'm repeating myself, and the diligent observation of the superiority of Jesus. I would like for you to turn, if you will, to Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13, if you find the page, you tell us. So on page 168, say the superiority of Jesus. Can you say it? The superiority of Jesus. Here's the superiority of Jesus right here. Looking for, I'm in Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and appearance or appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus. The book of Titus recalls that Jesus is called the great God and Savior. I'm going to ask you again, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Not only your Savior from sin, which is awesomely important, is he your Savior from your dead works? Things you used to do, you don't do anymore. The way you talked before, you don't talk anymore. The way you cursed before, you don't curse anymore. And if you do curse, you're asking to forgive you. Kind of got a witness. The way you abuse people, you don't abuse them anymore. You're ready to say you're sorry. I made a mistake. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new, and I can add this word, he's a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what the Greek indicates, brand new. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is taking over. Is he taking over in your life? Can I get a witness? Or are you the same when you first got saved? You're still a little baby. God wants us, every, to grow up. I'm going to add this because maybe you don't think it's important to grow up. But each one of us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive a reward. Salvation is a free gift. Rewards are earned. What have you done since you've been saved? Number 14. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I like this part. God feels 1,000 times more deeply than we do for ourselves. This is the way Jesus feels behind the scenes. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, this time I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to be the first. Have you ever been tempted? Raise your hand. I don't know one Christian who's never been tempted or tested. Lord, excuse me. It doesn't mean that he used to be touched when he was on earth. As if that was the only time he could sympathize. It describes how Jesus feels right now. Jesus is interceding for Christians right now. Right now.
Amen.
He yearns to reveal himself right now. And yet he is bound to certain principles. Number 15. One of those principles is described in Acts 14:22. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you want an easy life as a Christian, sit back and do nothing. But the Bible says, we must through much tribulation. If you're going to stand up for Christ, there's going to be resistance. But in the meantime, he feels what we feel, only 1,000 times more. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus feeling more for you than you can possibly feel for yourself? He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strength. He knows your downfalls. He knows your rising up. He knows everything about you. And yet, he chooses to love you and me in our weaknesses. Our Lord weeps with us. He weeps because of what he sees that we don't see. For he has much more to feel. Excuse me, I'm messing it up. For he has much more to feel deeply about. Here's a poem that was, I just found this about 2 weeks ago. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Can I get a witness? Number 16. A diligent, attentive consideration of the person, offices, and work of Jesus is the most effectual means to free the souls of men from the entanglements of errors and darkness. Say entanglements. Once again, I'm not picking on anyone because I don't know your situation unless you would care to pray about it. Some of us, you are entangled. You have a habit. You have something that you can't get rid of. But Jesus can free you. Can I get a witness? He can free you. You can ask him to give you strength to overcome what has entangled you, what is chaining you down. Let me start from the beginning. A diligent, attentive consideration of the person, offices, and work of Jesus is the most effectual means to free the souls of men from the entanglements of errors and darkness and to keep them constant in the profession of the truth. Say the truth.
The truth.
Have you ever said to someone, I don't know how you say it, what Jesus said? Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. Not a truth. I am the way, the truth. Not a truth, and the life. That's Jesus. These are the ends for which it is here called the apostle. These Hebrews were yet entangled in their old Judaism. And by reason of their temptation, prejudices, and persecutions, were ready to decline from the truth. To free them from the one and prevent the other, the apostle calls for the consideration of what he had delivered and what he was yet to deliver concerning the person, offices, and work of Jesus. Now, here's a note that's in those notes that you might want to consider. Had Jesus descended to earth in the form of a mighty being, we would respect him, but never would draw near to him. Had Jesus been biologically conceived with two earthly parents, we would draw near to him. But would we want to worship him? That's from Max Lucado. Can I get a witness? Number 17. How about you and I? Have you and I given Yeshua our complete attention and diligent observation? Attentively ponder all that is said of the Messiah. Think of his rank, his dignity, his holiness, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, ascension, and intercession. Think of him that you may see the claims to a holy life. Say holy life. I don't have to clarify that. Holy life. that you may learn to bear trials, that you may be kept from apostasies. Well, Jesus, if you're going to let this happen to you, happen to me, I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's what was going on. How about you? Because you have a trial, because someone talks about you, because you experience persecution, are you ready to say, that's enough, I had enough? That's apostasy. Can I get a witness? The character and work of the Son of God are worthy of the profound and prayerful consideration of every man, and especially every Christian should reflect much on Him. Of the friends that we love, we think much. Listen, of the friend that we love, we think much. But what friend have we like the Lord Jesus? Back to verse 1, number 18. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, even Jesus. Not for the context meeting of holy brethren and heavenly calling. Just who are these who are called holy brethren? Hebrews 2:11 gives us who they are. For both he that sanctified and he that are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Just let me clarify this. For he that sanctified, it is Jesus Christ that has sanctified you. It is Jesus Christ who sent you apart. I'm going to say set apart.
Set apart.
Don't you know, Christians, you've been set apart? You're not living for yourself. It's not all about you. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
He set you apart. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus Christ calls you his brother or sister in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
With all our faults and failures, you're his brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. Thank God.
All are of one God. Number 19. Jesus, by nature, the Son of God. And Christians made holy through Christ have one spiritual father. I don't know about you, but I often say this to myself. I often say it to my wife sometimes. Out of our mouths, out of my mouth, trickles the word father. Without even thinking about it. You know why? I'm no better than you. It's because of the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness? That should come out of your mouth just automatically. He's your father. I got this note over here. I guess I should read it. We've already read it, so I'll just read part of it. Who being the shining splendor of his glory and the express image of his nature and upholding all things by the word of his power, having made purification of our sins. Say purification of our sins.
Purification of our sins.
Come on now, speak up. Purification of our sins.
Purification of our sins.
When Christ died on the cross, he paid for your past, present, and future sins.
Thank you, Lord.
He paid it all.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm tempted to say it, and I might as well. Jesus paid it all. I can't finish it. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Can I get a witness? Can you sing sometime for Jesus? I'm not asking you to sing right now. Out of your heart, do you praise the Lord that he saved you from a Christless eternity? And what can you do for him? Just give him your life. Put your life in his hands. Being made so much better. I can't see. Being made so much better than the angels. As he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they... Oh. being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than them. What is the excellent name? Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first of 10,000, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. That's who he is. Can I get a witness? That's who he is. He's better than Moses. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. And God says, let all the angels of God worship him in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. Can you worship Jesus, or is he just another person to you? He is indeed the God-man. That's who he is. Think about who paid for your sins. God joined to a human body. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus. Partakers of the heavenly calling, I'm on number 20. This section is written to a partakers of the heavenly calling, who desired a heavenly country, and who had come to the heavenly Jerusalem. How will you enjoy this? All these blessings show their superiority of Christianity to Judaism. Judaism was an earthly calling with an earthly inheritance. Christianity is a spiritual and heavenly calling with a spiritual and heavenly inheritance. It is therefore far superior. Now this should be true for you and me. Paul said, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that?
Amen.
Can you say I'm pressing on for the call for the prize? Notice prize. There is something to be won. Not your salvation, that's already secure. But there is something that God wants to give you. He wants to say this to you. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. We eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm going to say it again. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his bride, the New Testament church. And it's not a building, it's a people. Ask yourself this question like Jesus said to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you're a very religious man. You give your tithe. You fast. You're a member of the Pharisees. But Nicodemus, you must be born again. Ask yourself, Christian. No, that's wrong. If you're a Christian, you are born again. Ask yourself, person, are you born again?
Amen.
I don't want you to get the wrong impression about our heavenly home. And this is not in your notes. The New Jerusalem, which shall be occupied by Christians and many other born-again people, is going to, according to Revelation, is going to descend either on the earth or close to the earth. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
And anyone who knows your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Our home is in heaven, and we live spiritually right now in heavenly places. As time believers, we are brothers of Jesus by position, and therefore, or thereby holy. We are only strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We are only strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You should be living like the world, Christian. Can I get one amen?
Amen.
What about it? What about you and me? Are we living like the world? Are we just doing everything? Can they make any difference between you and the world? Is there any difference? Our bodies are in the world, but we do not really belong to the world here. I went to someone's home the other day, and I was so glad to see this. It was about Christmas. It said, Christmas is about Christ. I'm not going to tell you who it is, because that wouldn't be right. But I was so glad to see that. Christmas is about Christ. I got something even more delicate than that. Does grace, Colossians 1:27, dwell in your heart? Is he there? That word dwell has the idea at home. Is he at home in your heart? Or is he sitting like that chair over there? Is he sitting on the side waiting for you to say, can I take over?
Amen.
The writer is saying to these Christian readers, you are citizens of the heavenlies, so why don't you let go of the earthly things? What about it, Christian? Let go of the earthly things. I don't mean to be so heavenly minded that you forget about earthly things. No, I don't mean that. Well, you know what I mean. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Why do you want to hold on to the earthly rituals, the earthly symbols, when you have the heavenly reality? Looks like I might make it, Pastor. If you don't know what I mean, I have to be done in a few minutes. Number 22. All of us at times are tempted to think our works are religious trappings and all important. Even when we know better, we often feel most comfortable and religious in traditional, familiar worship settings. And when we perform certain acts of good deeds that we should believe are particularly pleasing to God. Even when we know better, we often feel most comfortable and religious in traditional, familiar worship settings, and when we perform certain religious acts or certain acts of good deeds. I'm not saying good deeds aren't important. They follow your salvation. Upstairs in our Sunday school, sometimes people raise their hand to the music. I don't know how you worship, but that's one of the ways that I enjoy worship. You ought to not be in a church where you can't raise your hands and you have to be. You ought to be able to thank the Lord. You ought to be able to rejoice. We know and accept Christ's free grace complete in Christ, but we hang on to some form of artificial legalism rather than positive Christ-controlled spirit-energized life. Spirit-energized life. Considering and experiencing Christ's sufficiency should shatter all legalistic efforts, whether Judaistic or other kind. For Christians to hang on to earthly religious trappings not only is unnecessary and pointless, but also spiritually harmful. 23. To do so keeps us from experiencing the fullness of our relationship with God, and from being able to follow him as faithfully as we ought. These things are barriers, not means to blessings. Since believers share in the righteous nature of Christ. Wait a minute, did you hear that? You can look that up in 2 Peter. And I'm not going to turn to it. Since believers share in the righteous nature of Christ and his heavenly calling, they live in a heavenly existence, not the earthly. It is not just the unsaved who need to consider Jesus. Christian is you and me. Believers also, no matter how mature you are, you need to consider him in everything we do. I'm going to skip page 24. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Partakers of means of grace, of the spirit of grace that came from heaven and by which Christians are effectually called out of darkness into marvelous light. Well, I'm going to come to God when I want to. No, you're not. You're going to come to God when he calls you. You think that you're doing God a favor. You're not doing God a favor. He's calling you. And some of you, he's been calling for a long time, and you keep on resisting him. I can't tell you who he is, but there was a man I met. No, it wasn't you, brother. It wasn't you. He said, 40 years I've been resisting God. That's what he said.
Sounds like me.
But he's now coming around. He wants to go to a Bible college. He wants to take classes. Can I get a witness? Can you imagine God pursuing somebody for 40 years? He didn't give up on him. And God's not giving up on you. And somebody said it right. They said, thank goodness. Raises up to heavenly temper and conversation. Say conversation. I just said it again. What's your conversation look like? Don't think I'm trying to condemn you. Is it cursing, swearing, yelling at people? What does it look like? Or is it filled with grace? And you know what? If it's not, God will keep on growing and growing. Thank God for grace. We'd be in a lot of trouble, brother. Finally, verse 2. Christ was faithful to him that appointed him. God the Father, who appointed him? God the Father, as also Moses in his house. I'm getting close. Moses' house. You've got to get this. In Numbers 12:7, God gives this testimony to Moses. My servant Moses is faithful in all my house. And to this testimony the apostle alludes. House not only means the place where family dwells, but also the family itself. The whole congregation of Israel was a house or family of God, and God is represented as dwelling among them, and Moses was his steward. Notice the word steward in italics. And was faithful in the discharge of his office, strictly enforcing the divine rights, zealously maintaining God's honor, carefully delivering the mind and will of God to the people, proclaiming his promises and denouncing his judgment with the most inflexible integrity, though often at the risk of his own life. Can you say the word zeal? Moses did these things with zeal. He just said, oh God, you're giving me something else. He did it with enthusiasm. What's that got to do with you? Here's what it has to do with you. We should do the things of God with enthusiasm. Amen. Amen. Not like it's a burden to you to do them. 27. Hold it, brother, because this is what 27 looks like. It looks like this. I saved this paper.
Oh, right.
Okay, you got that one on there?
Have it.
Okay, you do have it. I have 227s. Make your own notes. How about it? How about it? How about making some of your own notes in the Bible? How about writing some things down about Jesus Christ, about life and death, about his saving grace? We had a scripture that we have to remember. I've already repeated it. Brother Tom, raise your hand. Well, Brother Tom has a scripture which he asked us to remember. For he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to repeat just a few of the other things that I thought I should. Here's some of my thoughts. He's the Alpha, and I know I said it already. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first among 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. What about you? What can you fill in this sheet? What's on your heart? Not just what the preacher said. Just what, can't you make a list of things that you can thank him for? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Instead of us saying, God, give me this and God, give me that, how about thanking him for something?
Amen.
27. Christ was appointed by God the Father The writer of Hebrew confers this exhortation. The word exhortation means an urging on. First of all, because Christ was appointed as such by God. Secondly, because he thoroughly executed the office of his father commanded. There's a great divide between Moses and Jesus. One of the things that Moses failed in some areas, can I get an amen?
Amen.
But God called him faithful. But Jesus Christ never did anything apart from what the Father, he never failed and he never sinned. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's why he could be your Savior.
Amen.
Now he comes to the comparison with Moses. And he makes them one another other than this. That they both were rulers over God's house and executed faithfully their office. But he later shows that there's a great, that word dissimilarity means difference, in the same comparison. Oop, I messed my page up. I think I better finish this up. I would like for you to go to number 29. For he hath been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by so much as he that built the house hath more honor than the house. The builder of the house is better than the house itself. Therefore, Christ is better than Moses. The reason for the conclusion is this. Because the builder of the house is God, which cannot be attributed to Moses. And therefore, Moses was not the builder, but a part of the house. But Christ, as Lord and God, made the house. Did you get that? The writer of Hebrews is alluding that Moses was a servant in the house, but Christ made the house. Therefore, he is God. I've got to skip over a lot of this. Go to number 31. All things came into being through him, and without him not even one thing came into being that came into being. Who's this referring to? Jesus. He built the house. He built the universe. He and his Father. Look at this. Referring to Jesus, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And you, Lord, I want you to get something. I don't want you to miss this. God the Father is calling his Son Lord. And you, Lord, have laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you will remain. They shall all become old as a garment. And as a covering, you shall fold them up, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall fail not. I got to go one more page, and I'm done. I don't see it. I'll just say it. Yes, you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. In the beginning was the Word. And I'll use another translation so you won't get bored. And the Word had a face-to-face relationship with God. That's the meaning of the Greek. In other words, God the Father and God the Son had a face-to-face relationship. And the Word was God. What's that mean? How could the Word be with God and yet be God? Because the Greek indicates that the word face-to-face and the word God have two different meanings. Face-to-face, but he was God by essence. I want you to get this straightened out. If you don't get anything else out of this message, Jesus Christ is not God the Father. He is the very nature of the Father, as you saw in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Can I get a witness? Do you know him? And if you do know him, how long have you known him? And how are you living for him? When you leave this building, Or you're just going to throw this message away and say, doesn't matter to me. I'm going to say something. Someday it will matter. To you and to me, it will matter. I say it again. We're all going to stand before God. And He's going to ask you, why did you not listen to that message? Why did you discard everything that was said? On the other hand, He could say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let's give the Lord a hand.